I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. There was a victory this week in the 15-year campaign against the military generals who rule Burma. Now, it sounds insignificant, but in fact it's quite important. This summer, it was to have been their turn to take on the rotating leadership of the Association of Southeast Asian States, or ASEAN. All the nations that criticize these generals for their human rights abuses have been lobbying to deny them their moment at the head of the table, and the generals have angrily insisted that it's their right to lead ASEAN. But this week, they let it be known that they will pass on their turn. Now, as I said, it seems insignificant, but ever since the generals threw out the results of an election which would have given power to the National League for Democracy, ever since they imprisoned the Burmese leader Aung San Suu Kyi, they have craved international respectability. This week, they admitted to themselves and the rest of the world that they still don't have it. In the most public way possible, they lost face. Now, the generals who rule Burma are also failing to crush the courage of ordinary people who stand up against them. Today on the program, we will meet one of those people. Charm Tong is 23 years old. She has been at the forefront of the fight for human rights ever since she was a teenager. And we'd like to have you join our conversation this hour. Can individuals still make a difference when it comes to confronting tyrants? Should this country, should the United States, put more pressure on the generals in Burma? Can it do more to help the people who are fighting for human rights? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. My guest is Charm Tong. She recently won the Reebok Human Rights Award for this year for her work with Burmese refugees and women who've been abused by the military. Thank you for coming into the program.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations on the award.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if anyone in Burma will know that you won this award.
Definitely, because we also try to encourage our people to know what is happening, not only because how the regime is brutally act against the people, but also to hear what people outside the world, the democratic movement, and also people in the world are trying their best in order to support for change in the country.
But it's still pretty hard for people in Rangoon and people in Mandalay to hear the news or to watch regular news on television or read it in the newspaper, yes?
Yes, definitely. Because it is not a surprise, because the military regime want to control over the local populations, not only people in Rangoon or in Mandalay, but also people all over Burma. And the control of the information, and also the control so people in the country also don't know what is happening to other, even on another village, you know, especially in the ethnic areas and where the armed conflict is still going on.
Now, I want to talk about the area where you work and the work that you do, and I thought it might be useful to just sort of try and describe this area for people who may not be able to picture Burma. I always think of Burma as a big, tall diamond standing on its end. And on the top two sides, you have India and China. On the bottom two sides, you have the Indian Ocean. And on the other side, the border with Thailand and Laos. And that's the area where you come from. Is that right?
Yes.
And it's also an area where there are many of the ethnic people of Burma. In your case, it's the Shan people?
Yes.
The Shan people are who? They are people who have always lived in that certain part of Burma. How do we describe them?
The people of Shan State have since staying there for generations. And also Shan State, as you know, geographically is now based on northeastern Burma, which is close to China, Laos, and Thailand. People.
But why is the regime so anxious to persecute the Shan people? Why are they after the Shan people, the generals?
Actually, the military also after all other and oppress all other people in other ethnic areas in Burma, like Shan State, like Karen State, Mon, Kareni, Kachin, Chin, and also Arakan.
I'm not going to remember all these names.
Yes,
but
There are seven main ethnic groups in Burma today, and of course, the one of why the military regime still continue to persecute the people is trying to control over the local population and trying to control the natural resources and control over other ethnic groups on their movement and also the livelihood of the people. And that's why so much human rights violation and oppression against the people, and also until now still creating all the refugees around the neighboring country like Thailand, Bangladesh, and India.
Now, one of the ways that they try to control the people is by the use of rape. And this is where you sort of began to be known for your work in this area. Am I right about that? The report you have in front of you, what's it called?
The License to Rape.
License to Rape. What exactly was going on?
The people in Burma today, and especially in the ethnic areas, have been long since suffering under a series of military regime, and even the regime now changed its name to the State Peace and Development Council. However, many human rights violations still continue. And one of the main, one of the very, very the big problem is also use rape as a weapon of war against the ethnic groups in the different ethnic areas in order to control and terrorizing, intimidating, controlling, and also to make the community feel shameful about rape, and using women as a victim, and also as a weapon, rape women as a weapon of war in order to show the ethnic people and the community destroy the morals of the people, and also...
Tell me what your work was, Charmtong. What were you doing?
I'm working with an organization called the Xi'an Women's Action Network. We support and also work with the refugees from Xi'an State and Burma who are across the border, on Thai-Burma border. And we are trying to give support and also emergency support. At the same time, also capacity building for women and also refugees population.
But you're talking to these women, you're asking them to tell you their stories. Is that right?
We try to document and also all the atrocities committed by the Burmese military regime, and also especially with women and also all other refugees that cross the border. And even though the regime trying to block the flow of the information outside, we still continue to receive more information on the rape case, and where until now there's no change on the ground.
Now, it's you describe in your report that it's very, very difficult for these women to tell their stories. Why is it so hard for them to tell theirs? I mean, nobody likes to tell a story like that. Is it even harder for these women?
Yes, first of all, the women have faced... those women who are raped, you can imagine how it is very difficult for a woman to speak out. First of all, our community, first of all, there's no... the military also threaten the villagers and the women if they dare to speak out, if they dare to tell the people what is happening to them, what happened to them. And even though the women tell and the villagers complained to the authority that some military and the soldiers raped the women, there is no punishment, and it actually creates the very threatened security situation for the women and also the villagers.
So why do they tell their story then, Charmtong? If they're threatened for speaking out, if they live with all this, why will they still tell their stories?
They want women want all the sexual violence to stop, and also we don't want, and the women don't want such horrible action to happen to any other women in Xi'an State, any other parts of Burma, and also any parts in the world. And women want peace, and they want to go home. And this is a very what women told us That's why they are very brave, and in order to speaking out and also voicing what happened to them in order to stop all the violence to other people of Burma.
Is it hard for you as a young woman to hear their stories?
It is very difficult and very disturbing story to actually to our mind. And whenever the women talk about their story and experience, it means they are repeatedly raped again and again. And at the same time for us, we are trying to raise and voice their story and share their stories to the world. Even us, sometimes, you know, it's very morally, and we also, at the same time, we also traumatize because we are basically telling what the women are facing, and also how the women wanted to stop. And even though it's very difficult for them, even the rape survivor, the women dare to speak out. Why can't us, as ordinary people, and as a citizen or any, as a human being, cannot voice such horrible acts?
My guest is Charm Tong. She's describing some of the difficult work in gathering the stories of women who are raped as a way of, as the Burmese government's way of trying to control people in the ethnic parts of the country along the borders. One of the points that she makes is that even though the people tell their stories, not much appears to be changing in Burma. Does that mean countries like the United States need to take a tougher line? The president has spoken about this country as one of the outposts of terror. Is that enough? 1-800-423-8255. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. There are no foreign correspondents reporting from Burma, nowhere in the country. In fact, the State Peace and Development Council, the Orwellian-named general who run that particular country, don't allow any reporting from any cities in Burma. It's one of the most secretive regimes in the country. That's one of the reasons why you don't, or not in the country, excuse me, in the world. That's one of the reasons why you don't necessarily hear that many stories about what's going on in Burma. It's been some 15 years since Aung San Suu Kyi and her National League for Democracy won the election there, and she has been under virtual house arrest ever since that time, despite people all around the world calling for her freedom. It's just not happening. The generals don't really think that they do have to respond to world pressure if they shut that pressure out. So what's the rest of the world to do? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. If you have simple, basic, straightforward questions about life in that country and what the people are going through, this is an opportunity to put those questions to Charm Tong. She is here with me in the studio. She's the recipient of this year's Reebok's Human Rights Award. She is only 23 years old, though I think 24 later this month, am I right?
This month.
In fact, your own experience with this regime began when you were a tiny little girl. How old were you when you left your home?
About 5 or 6 years old.
What happened?
I myself grew up in the conflict area, so where the Xi'an resistance movement in the central Xi'an state, where the fighting between the Xi'an resistance and also the Burmese military regime trying to make operation in that area. And there's no future for children or women or young people or anyone in the country, because life is so people are really under oppression of different kinds of oppression. You have forced labor, forced relocation, porters, forced labor, and people don't even have time to make their own living, and all the fighting that is happening. And my parents decided to send me to the Thai-Burma border just because they believe that at least I can be safe, and at least I can have some future that maybe can even access to some basic education.
So you're 5 years old and your mother and your father send you away to live where?
On the Thai-Burma border.
With relatives there?
They know a friend who is also a Catholic nun who owns an orphanage house. So I grew up with her.
It was in an orphanage then, where you grew up.
Yes.
What is it like? I mean, what have you ever spoken? You have since seen your mother and father. You're able to see them now, are you?
Now I can see them at least once or a month or every 2 or 3 months. But in the past, when I was young, there's no... I saw them only once a year or once every 2 years, 3 years, depends on the situation. So we were so separated and until they crossed the border a few years ago. And for me, I feel like... And my father passed away last year.
I'm sorry.
And I feel like I don't have time even to know him. And we are just too separated as a child.
Did you ever ask your mother what it was like to send you away when you were 5 years old?
My mother is a very strong person. And even though she knows that to be with parents, it would have been, as a child, to be with parents, it would have been a lot, you know, like family and warm. But there's no place, you know, there's no space for us, you know, like as a family like that in Xi'an State or, you know, in Xi'an State. And it is very difficult for them as well. But they know that it's also very difficult for me. But they can see that if they don't send us, don't send me and my other younger sisters, they know exactly what can happen to us, killings, facing all other forms of violation like rape or no education program for young people, and we have to move from time to time and place to place all the time. So it is, for me, I consider myself as a very lucky person, at least I can be safe during the past years.
Was there a time, Charm Tong, when you decided that you wanted to be a human rights activist? You wanted to do something to help the other people? Can you remember if there was one moment when you made this decision?
For me, there's on the border where I grew up, at that point of the border, you can see every day, you can see many of my friends were also have been trafficked into sex industry. Many other children have no access to any education program, and people cross the border, and sometimes you heard the fighting going on just on the other side of the border, which is maybe 3 or 1 kilometers. This is the condition there, and for me, I think what else, you know, can I do? You know, I think we can try our best, and we can in that situation, in the situation where you don't have much alternative, in the situation where everything is so oppressed, and in the situation that you don't have much options, and also very, very less opportunity. And I decided, what can I do? What are the things, you know, what are the steps that I can do? So I've been asking myself all the time, like, how I can contribute, you know, to the situation from whatever limitations that I have.
I know that girls your age, teenagers in this country, you know, they think about schoolwork, and they think about boys, and they think about dances, and you know, the boys and girls. I'm not just saying girls. You never had a chance really to be a child or a teenager. You sound like you went right from being a little girl to a grown-up person.
That is, people might have different kinds of experience and lifetime, but under the current military regime in Burma, for the young people like me, I don't and I consider myself as at least a fortunate and lucky person that I'm safe, and at least I can step and also trying to do something from what is going on. And you can imagine other young people that don't have access this to this opportunity at all, and some might be abducted as a child soldiers and never see their families again by the Burmese military regime, or forced labor, no education. And all these things happen, and so what if we are talking about the future of the country? So you can see this is what is happening to the country as a whole, and to the other young people in Burma, and especially women. It's very difficult to avoid such, especially on the sexual violence.
One of the things that you said, I wanted to have you explain for me. You talked about friends of yours who were taken into the sex industry. Now, is that in Burma or is that in Thailand and Laos? Who is capturing these young women?
When we are talking about the sex industry, it might be voluntary or it might be tricked into sex industry. But what we are trying to say is that the root cause and the situation and the condition of the people in Burma is so bad, and that the people can have no chance and have no choice in entering the country, and because of different kinds of human rights violation that which need to be solved. Because many people try to tend to say that the people and the from Xi'an State or women who crossed to the border like Thailand, mm-hmm. trying to enter the country because they have no job and and come to the country for economic reason, but it is true. But the root cause of the problem of the country, and that we have to we need a long term solution by changing the regime and also changing all the political situation.
My guest this hour is Charm Tong. She has testified several times before the UN Human Rights Commission about conditions for Shan refugees and women in Burma. She has documented rape and torture, forced prostitution for the groundbreaking report License to Rape. She's even helped found a school to help to educate displaced Shan refugees. She's here with me in the studio. She's in the United States, in fact, to receive Reebok's Human Rights Award, and it's an opportunity for you to join in a conversation about circumstances for people in Burma. 1-800-423-8255. The number's 1-800-423-TALK. We're going to Washington, D.C. for a call from Philip. Philip, thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning. Mingling on a king charm. Considering Shan State's attempt at independence, do you think this will help at all, or in the future? I know how direct you are, so I know you have a clear sight on the Shan government.
What should happen there? Should there be a separate country for Shan people in Shan State, or is it more a question of getting the Burmese government replaced with a democratically elected government? What do you want?
First of all, I would say that everybody in all the human being and people like to have freedom and also human rights and peace. And people have been longing for it, and people have been suffering for more than 40 years, especially in the ethnic areas. So the declaration of the Shan's recent declaration of the Shan Independence Declaration by Shan Independent Declaration recently reflect something that is really reflect the real life and the real needs of the people. I believe people want to live peacefully and also to live in a place where it's safe and where they can enjoy at least human rights as other human beings. And for our organization, the Shan Women's Action Network, we have always been calling for a you know, peaceful solution, for example, like a tripartite dialogue.
Independence for the Shan people, not to be a part of Burma. That's your first choice, independence for Shan people?
I'm not saying that.
Okay, I'm trying to understand this.
I'm saying that we have been calling for the tripartite dialogue, which is the dialogue between the military regime, the ethnic nationalities, and also the representative of the National League for Democracy who won 1990 elections. Only the tripartite dialogue can
lead to
the change in the country.
I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. Next to Providence, Rhode Island, and Woon Twang is with us. Hello.
Yes. Thanks. Thanks for accepting my call. One thing that about Sam Tong, fasting. I would like to get that her report that is called the License to Rape.
You know, Woon Twang, I can tell you that you can read a copy of that report online. And what we will do is we'll put a link to that on our website. Our website is theconnection.org, and that will give you a link to read the report. How's that?
Okay, that would be fine. Your website is theconnection.org.
Did you have a question for Charm Tong?
I would like to have a question in the sense that there are a lot of things are going on in Burma. I was an information officer as well as assistant director of television before I got my political asylum in the United States. And one thing I disagree with Sam Tong is that to be an independent state. I came from a state called Chin State, which is much smaller than Chin State, and we are on the northwest part of Burma, and one of the poorest states in Burma. And there are altogether 8 states and 8 divisions. And
Wendwank, I wonder if I can ask you a quick question.
Yes.
You've been living in this country now for more than 15 years. Do you think that the United...
1992.
Okay.
Yes.
Should or could the United States be doing more to help the people in that country?
Oh, yes, I think she is doing now. They are doing now quite a lot. But even then, they can do more, I think. Especially, they could press the Republic of China to press. The Burmese government right now rely very much on the Chinese government in arms and ammunition as
it's
well.
It's a really good point, actually. I'm wondering, Charm Tong, if you believe that the United States could do more by putting pressure on the Chinese rather than by putting pressure on the Burmese.
I think the pressure should come from various way and many different kinds, different ways, especially on the push, and also the more pressure on the Chinese from China, and I think we shouldn't forget also that Burma is in between of China and also India and also other Asian countries, from ASEAN, and Burma joined ASEAN in 1997, and when many people say that whether sanction works, even though the sanction have been very hard, you know, pressure on the regime, why there's no change? The question is that there are many countries that are interested in Burma, but not interest in the favor of human rights and democracy. And I would just like to clarify with our friends from Chin State that I myself, I did not say that we,
want independence.
On that point.
You're right. Those were my words, not yours. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. Charm Tong is here with me in the studio. She is from Burma. She is a recipient of this year's Reebok Human Rights Award for her work in helping set up a school, providing more education, also offering human rights assistance to people, particularly the women along the Burmese-Thai border, the ethnic women in particular who are persecuted by the military. A chance for you to find out more about a part of the world doesn't get that much attention. 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. Charm Tong is here with me in the studio. At the age of 17, she helped found the Shan Women's Action Network. You know it by the initials SWAN, SWAN. At age 20, she founded the School for Shan State Nationalities, which provides English language education to people her age, people who are caught without a home to go to. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. And for someone who has spent all her life helping people along the Burma Thai border, a chance for you to find out more about what's going on in that part of the world. We're going to take a call from Kim, who's joining us from Boston. Hi, Kim.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, you go ahead.
I lived for a number of years in Bangkok, but now live in Boston. And so I applaud WBUR for putting on programming like this because it's very hard to get information about, you know, distant parts of the world. Mm. But while living in Bangkok, I've had friends who visited Burma, and I've thought about going a number of times, and so I'm wondering if your guest could comment on whether or not she would welcome, you know, the tourism. Will it help people there, or is she discouraging it?
Thank you very much for asking this question. We would like to ask your support to visit Burma at during this time under the current military regime, because every single penny or dollar that you left behind is going to support for the military expense. This means the troops full of the rapists and also those who are committing other human rights violations, killings, and the expenditure and the budget have never gone, you know, actually to the health services or education program or any other thing except the military expense that have been increased its size.
But I remember the leadership, the generals saying, look, we have new hotels in Rangoon. We are welcoming tourists. If you bring your dollars here, you can make life better for the people in Burma. So you're saying this is not true?
Look, the hotel is also built by the forced labor of the people that have to do the slave labor for the regime, and also most of the construction area, and these are all the things that we have to take into account, and all the land and also the labor that have been confiscated and also doing in a very bad giving don't and also the benefit will not go to the people, mm-hmm. and it's going to the military regime.
Kim, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I guess I should put off my trip for a couple of years then.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm just wondering, Kim, when you're in Bangkok, though, I mean, that would be a jumping off spot for tourists to go there, and it's a bit of a puzzle, if I recall it correctly, because for a long period of time Burma was closed, and then the generals thought, no, we can make some money through tourism, and there was among people this, oh, we can go to a forgotten land, we can use this opportunity to visit, to take the train, to see the coastline.
Well, and I was actually just in Phuket not that long ago, and people were saying going there was the best way to help the people there recover from the tsunami devastation, you know, to go and spend money and help revive the economy. And so I was wondering if it was a similar situation with Burma, if the money that you spend will go to help people who were living there who, you know, possibly use money.
Let me ask Charm Tong, though, how do people find out about Burma if they don't go? How do you keep people interested in the country?
Yes, we are for the tourism and also tourism and tourists into Burma, this especially with the big luxurious tour that have paid a lot of money in advance, and also stay in the hotels. That is all, whether one way or another, is linked by the Burmese military regime. And we totally understand that some of our friends want to go there in order to learn more about what is happening in Burma. But you have to remember that the regime do not allow tourists to go in the conflict area and any places that you would like to go. It's only very, very limited an area, and also is many areas are forbidden by the tourists to enter. So on the other side, that's very difficult for the tourists to go into the area where people are suffering and where the military are committing rape, committing human rights violation, forcing forced labor and killing people.
So they only show a sort of Disneyland version of Burma, not a real Burma, yeah?
And I would like to say that if the tourists would like to enjoy the beauty of Burma, and I think we should also enjoy together with also the people of Burma that are now very under very difficult and suffering conditions.
Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. Charm Tong is here with me in the studio. She is from Burma, though she is working now basically in that border area between Burma and Thailand, helping the people there. She's the recipient of this year's Reebok's Human Rights Award. Our next telephone call comes from Concord, Massachusetts, and Bruce is with us. Hi, Bruce.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I want to express I admire your guest's courage of, you know, deciding to come over to accept the award, and plus, you know, to appear on the show and, you know, talk honestly about what's going on in her country. And I have a question that, you know, do you have concerns about your personal safety of, you know, coming back to Burma and then, you know, maybe get arrested, or maybe even there's a threat to your life. And how do you make decisions under such circumstances? And secondly, when you go back home, what are your main channels of communication with the outside world?
Okay, first part of the question, are you going to get in trouble for accepting the award, coming to America, talking publicly on radio stations like this one?
We have been facing all the risk and also different kinds of challenges, like even and for myself too, and our organization as well. And when from our experience in 2002, after we released the report License to Rape, even though we are based in Thailand, we even were told by the authority that we should close down our office and also should stop all the operation that we are doing. Because
why did the Thai want to shut you down?
That is the question. Why? Because we
pressure from Burma, because they too have economic relations. Is that why?
That is our question too. Because we are peaceful. We are trying to organize the event that very peaceful, and also we are trying to address the needs of the refugees and also build capacity, and also for the people to be ready for change. And these are all and documentation of all the sexual violence and other human rights violation committed by the regime. And even though it is risk, I believe that we still have to continue.
So and there's a risk to you even in Thailand. It's not just a risk if you cross the border into Burma.
Yes, both.
And the second part of your question, the second part of Bruce's question is, so how do you get information out to the rest of the world?
Through our networks that have been supporting Burma Democratic Movement everywhere, both even in Thailand and also regional and internationally, and all other support groups that have been trying to raise the issue of human rights situation and political situation in Burma, and trying to organize people in order to support for change in the towards Burma, and with this continuous support, Therefore, we are able to raise our issue and also trying to tell the world that this is what happened, really happening on the ground, and this is happening to the life of the women and also to the people. And we still have refugees coming in every day, and I would like to say that the Xi'an refugees, even though since 1996 more than 400,000 people were relocated from central Xi'an state, and many of them have fled to Thailand, but there's no recognition of the Xi'an refugees and by the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, and therefore no formal support for the Xi'an refugees in northern Thailand.
When you were living at the orphanage, that's when you began to learn the English language, is that right?
Yes.
And is that one of the reasons why you chose to begin the school, so friends of yours, other young Xi'an people can learn English? Is that a part of it?
It is very important for the young people right now to, because there's no education program at all. There's even not even any Xi'an class, so there's no any opportunity available. And we believe the language can also give support to the young people with different skill, and they can communicate, and the young people can learn more from the skill they have, and actually just to upgrade, actually even upgrade their skill in order to access to other like training opportunities at least, or to be more active to the community, and also to be active and advocate for the rights of the refugee and the people. So we are setting up this school not only for to upgrade and to fulfill the education needs, but at the same time we are trying to promote the young people to know and also to be more active in advocating for the rights of the refugees and the rights to education and towards social and political change in Burma.
You're training the next generation of leaders.
Right.
Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. What can the U.S. do? Can the U.S. apply pressure or provide assistance to people along the borders from between Burma and China and Laos and Thailand? I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. Next to Gloucester, and Anne's joining us on the phone from there. Hi, Anne.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yes, the citizens of the United States could boycott the products of international corporations which do business with Burma, and also the stockholders in these corporations.
What are the products, Anne?
Excuse me?
What are the products that you notice have a made in Myanmar?
I'd like to know. I'd like to boycott them if a corporation refuses to divest and therefore bring pressure on the government.
It's certainly been
one
of the most
way to affect them.
Yeah, it's been one of the most effective in the past. Charm Tong, are there goods from Myanmar or Burma that are being sold in the United States right now?
Actually, the campaigns against any products from Burma have been from U.S. From the U.S. have been very successful. However, I can give also another example on the Unical case, which is the oil company that is actually investing and taking all the natural resources from Burma, and where in that area people have been relocated, where they have been staying for generations and actually destroying the local community and also the livelihood of the people, and the regime still benefit from that. So such campaign can be, you can also participate and also join and give support to the movement.
I'm wondering if you think that there will come a time when the generals, the military regime, will have to give up power. As I look at what they do now, and they seem to have enough money to hold on. They seem to have enough soldiers to keep people like you away from the center. I just wonder if you have hope that you will someday see a Burma that is not run by the military.
Definitely. I believe that Burma one day will be free and we will have peace, and we can return home and we can stay in a place without fear of being persecuted by any military or any by the Burmese military regime. And the situation have gone worse. Even more political leaders like Khun Thun U, the leader of the Shan Nationalities League for Democracy, who won 1990 election and was the second largest political party apart from Aung San Suu Kyi's Nationalities League for Democracy, and other Shan state leaders were arrested, and the Burmese military regime also at the same time forced many other ceasefire groups to surrender. This means it's very difficult for the people in the area with this kind of action, and there have been already many more people were displaced from their home with this action.
But you see, this is why I don't share your optimism, because here we are now 15 years after the National League for Democracy won the election, and still the military generals are arresting people who won their right to be a parliamentarian. There are men and women in jail now who are 75, 80, 85 years old, that the regime is keeping. What will it take to break their hold?
The military regime will do every single and will try all the necessary steps in order to hold its power. But at the same time, the regime, on the other hand, I would say that the regime is weakening itself by destroying the country, destroying the future of our children and also young people. Destroying all the natural resources by inviting all the companies in Burma and take all the natural resources, whether it's teak, gas and other sources, gems in Burma, and the regime's trying to limit and also trying to control of the political movement and trying to control of any one or any group that want to try to make change in the country. Have this is the future that will actually end, and it's a lose-lose situation, and the regime is weakening itself, but it's at the same time also weakening every body in Burma.
You just need to be stronger than them.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in.
We have hope, and even though it's very difficult, but countries that are free today, like East Timor and other parts of the world, give us hope, and one day we will be like that.
Thank you so much for coming in. It was nice to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Charm Tong, Burmese political activist, recipient of this year's Reebok's Human Rights Award. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.